Just as we might develop spiritual desires triangularly, but we can also develop more worldly desires triangularly. If somebody earns more than us, we might become jealous of them. How do you avoid that negativity? Yeah, there are two things in this, that we live in a competitive world. And in a competitive world, we'll naturally see who is above us and who is below us. That's just unavoidable. So competition is unavoidable, but a competitive mentality, or you could say competitive, you can say comparison. Comparison is avoidable, but a comparing mentality is undesirable. Comparing mentality is where we constantly keep doing comparison. Comparison is a functional necessity. If there's a class, well, there'll be grading, and who, some student will come first, some student will come second, third, fourth, fifth. That's just a functional necessity. But when comparison becomes the basis of our own foundational identity, that means I start defining myself in terms of where I fall on that comparative scale. That is when we sentence ourselves to insecurity. So, if our net worth becomes equal to our self-worth, then we will always be dissatisfied. And a major problem in today's world is that our area of comparison has now become the whole world. In the past, probably people lived in a village or a town or even a city. It was their social circle. Now we have the whole world, the most good-looking people from the whole world, the wealthiest people from the whole world, we see all of them. So if we get infected by the comparing mentality, that will keep us perpetually dissatisfied, never happy. So once we understand this point, that comparison is a functional necessity, but comparing mentality cannot be the basis of our fundamental identity. We are spiritual beings, and we, each one of us is unique. Each one of us has been given some potentials. We all can make a contribution according to who we are, according to how we can do the best. So when we start focusing too much on what others are getting, or what others are earning or achieving or whatever, then that takes us away from who we really are and who we really can be. So that's why we need an inner security that there is a place in the world for us. That the universe is big enough for every one of us to find our niche, for every one of us to make our contribution. If we were meant to be like someone else, then we would have been made someone else. You are you, and I am. Each one of us is unique. So by seeing others doing something more or getting something more, we can take some inspiration. But if we let that define our self-worth, we'll become insecure. So again, I think the A and R part, arise and release, that can help in not getting too affected by that. And also, we often reduce people to certain things. This person is earning so much. Okay, they're earning so much. But is that much earning really making them happier? Making money is important, but making something worthwhile with money is even more important. To not have money is a problem, but to have only money is often a bigger problem, because people can just become lonely sometimes with a lot of money, and if the person doesn't have any consciousness properly, no relationship properly, then there is a huge amount of money, they may buy a big house with that, but the house will only give them the privilege of a lot of place in which to feel lonely and unhappy. it will not give them anything worth it. So it's not just because somebody's got something more than us, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're happier than us. Doesn't even mean that their life is more meaningful than us. Even if they've got more money, they have to create a meaningful life with that money. And for us also, we may feel, I need money. Yes, we need it also. But more than that, we need to create a meaningful life for ourselves. And that's why if we understand, look within to understand who we are, what our interests are, what our potentials are, how we can make a contribution, then we can start moving towards creating a meaningful life with whatever resources we have right now. As we keep moving forwards, the resources may also grow. So, rather than letting society define what is important, we look inwards and based on our priorities, our nature, we decide what is important for us and focus on that. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Okay. So maybe this is the last question. We don't want to go over time. If any of you have upcoming questions after that, I'll be available. We can talk on a one-to-one basis after that. Yes, please. Okay. So when we are not able to make the distinction. Okay. So if we start fusing with the inner screen acting accordingly, what can we do about it? It's a gradual process. Rather than thinking of this as digital, either we are doing it or we are not doing it, we see it as more an analog. See, we might be able to do it after some time. We might say, I decide, okay, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to yell at anyone. And then we start getting angry. And then maybe at a particular time, we might have told someone, I'm not going to get angry. And then we start getting angry and that person says, we had made a new year resolution, I will not get angry now. And we start getting angry and then they point out to us, you're getting angry. And sometimes we are so angry that we don't even admit we are angry. So they say, you're getting angry. I'm not getting angry. So, now, okay, I'm getting angry. Calm down. So, it's the moment we realize it, we do course correction. So, and as we do it, see, with respect to some things, it will be easier for us to do it. So, it depends on, going back to the earlier metaphor of the screen, some things might be just default windows that open. Say, all of us might have for our browser a home page. Click on the browser and that's the page that opens up. Now for each one of us, the browser home page might be different. And now, even if we don't think of anything, we don't just click on the browser, that home page will open up. So similarly for us, based on if we are very habituated to something, very attached to something, then that in that particular action to differentiate will be very difficult because that just opens up immediately. But we could differentiate in other things. So, somebody might be, say, very hooked to, say, a particular habit. Oscar Wilde said once that giving up smoking is the easiest thing in the world. I have done it over 100 times. So, I gave it up, but next time it popped up, immediately I took it. So, yeah, if somebody has been, we have done a particular thing repeatedly, then distancing ourselves from it will be difficult. But then we can start with something else. Okay, when I get the urge to, say, surf on the net, I can't control it. I just get carried away. Okay, but when I get the urge to overeat, when I get the urge to oversleep, maybe I can control that. Start with that. So it's like, rather than setting a particular goal for ourselves, we focus on the process. Once we focus on the process, the goals will automatically come. And if we focus on the goal, and some goals might be very difficult for us. I'll conclude with this point, that if we consider, say, if I take this object, if I drop it now, obviously I won't drop it, but if I drop it, it will fall because there's a gravity. So now, the gravity on all objects is more or less the same depending on their weight. But with respect to our psychology, say if somebody is alcoholic and somebody is a teetotaler, non-alcoholic, then both of them pass by a bar. The alcoholic passes by the bar, that bar will exert an extremely strong gravity pull on that person. You feel almost pulled over there. The person who is non-alcoholic, that person may not feel any pull at all. You may not even notice there is a bar over there. So now, for the alcoholic, to resist that pull will be much, much more difficult. For the non-alcoholic, there is no pull. So resisting is no challenge at all. So similarly, for each one of us, the same object may exert different levels of gravity pull based on how we have interacted with that object. So for some objects, the gravity pull for us may be irresistible right now. So that idea comes up and immediately we do it. And if we try to fight that battle right in the beginning, it is just a battle we can't win right now. And we may get discouraged and say, I will never be able to do this. But instead, start with something where the gravity pull is not that strong. And so in general, with respect to improving ourselves, it's best to act small and grow big. Start with as simple a thing as possible. If somebody wants to exercise, okay, I will do one push-up every day. One push-up, what's going to happen by that? See, for the mind, see, for the body, one push-up and say 20 push-ups might be a big difference. But for the mind, one push-up every day for 20 days will create a deeper impression than 20 push-ups in one day. So those 20, it's like on the browser, 20 times we have chosen push-up, 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 push-up. So that will create an impression and that will make the next day's choice easier. So sometimes when we try to change ourselves, we set a very big goal for ourselves. And when we can't achieve it, we fail and we give up. But it's a start with a small goal, which you can do regularly. And when we do that, see, in self-transformation, regularity is much more important than quantity. Because the mind doesn't, the quantity doesn't register on the mind as a repeated impression, regularity. So that's why if you can do some small thing regularly, that will help us grow. And that will help us bring about the change eventually. So thank you very much for your attention.
I kind of had the same experience, you know, in the midst of doing that service, as much as I